Welcome back to the Inspired Incompetence Podcast. Now in surround sound, where headphones and surround sound speakers are available. How's everybody doing?
Yeehaw.
You hear that?
I hear that all around.
Stereo, baby. This is the future.
And Technicolor, too.
So, we're at Hammer Rock. Everyone's happy to be here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm remembering where we left off, right?
So, you guys are currently fighting a worm wraith, presumably Temi Azrael, I believe it was a bronze dragon that was present for when the radiant fire went off. It's been a little murdery.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Well, I direct your attention to the crater in the ground that is Valbar.
Oh, he'll walk it off.
And Wormwraiths, you know, are famous for any creature that they kill rises as a Dreadwraith 1d4 rounds after the fact.
Yeah.
I'll remind you that you guys fought a couple Dreadwraiths back in Gallowspire. They were the creatures that were like, we have a riddle for you. And Arginus was like, I got this. And then immediately did not got this.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
And, you know, they were pretty annoying, but you guys dealt with them handily enough. Constitution drain on a touch attack is definitely nothing to write off about. Definitely nothing to ignore. No matter how much you guys have leveled since then. But definitely not like, it's not going to spawn another, something else like nearly as dangerous as Temi Azrael. That said, it is Temi Azrael's turn, who, after getting smacked around pretty good by Thalias, has turned his attention to Thalias, has just as a swift action donned an ectoplasmic form, is no longer incorporeal, and in fact is going to have some chutzpah behind this full attack.
Uh-oh. He already had plenty of chutzpah.
How much chutzpah has this guy got?
Well, hopefully the chutzpah means physical damage and not freaking like con damage like he was doing. If it's both, you're just fucked.
It was negative levels.
Oh, yeah.
Not con damage. Come on now.
I knew it was something that would kill
that
us.
Might be worse.
Yeah.
Honestly.
All right, so Temi Azrael is going to start with a bite. 29 to hit. These are not touch attacks.
Okay.
Against your actual full AC.
That's good news. So that does not hit.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. No, that's amazing news.
Here come two claws. 32 to hit.
Oh, that doesn't hit either. No way.
And then a 36 to hit.
Okay. Yeah. That one hits.
All right. Here come two wings.
Oh my god.
44 to hit.
That hits.
Okay.
If it starts with a 4, you can move on.
Natural 20.
Okay. Yeah, that one hits too. Maybe.
It definitely hits. But a 28, I imagine, does not confirm.
It does not.
And a tail slap.
What a jerk.
32.
Nope, doesn't hit. I'm the greatest.
All right. So that's one claw and two wings.
Yeah. Still not great, though. I imagine this is going to hurt.
This is probably the best case scenario for you, because like, if he had stayed incorporeal, those all would have hit you, and it would have been doing like
1 to 2 negative levels every one.
And that was like 7 right. Attacks. So you'd have been at like you'd have 14 negative levels or something.
Level 2, Thalias. Hey guys.
So the claw is going to deal 16 points of damage. Does Thalias have any active spells that are from a divine source?
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, what about my harrow bonus?
Nope. Everything we have would be either arcane or psychic.
Yeah. All right.
I still got to get rid of that. I can't remember what it takes.
You have a plus one bonus on reflex saves, and that'll...
Okay. Get rid of the curse Tom put on me.
Yes.
All right, and here come the two wings. 10 from the first one.
Okay.
And 15 from the second one.
All right, all things considered, not that bad. A little casual 41 damage from not even half of his hits going off. Perfect.
Yep. You got pretty lucky there, but I don't think I need to tell you that. And I think he's just going to 5 foot step north while flying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thalias, your turn.
Big mistake from this guy, hitting Thalias. First things first, I'm going to use the thing that I always forget, which is lay on hands.
Good thinking.
And with my crazy O-ball, I just get that, I believe. 5d6 of healing.
You just get 30 health.
Mm-hmm. As a swift action.
So let's just go ahead and tack 30 on there and drop the usage by one. And then I'm going to... is it a swift action? I thought I got it for free.
It's a Hold on swift. One second. On yourself.
Oh, it's swift on myself. So I can't full attack? Dang.
You can full attack.
Oh, I can? Of course I can. I know the rules.
You need your swift action to do your champion charge. But just a full attack is fine.
I will have my buddy spiritual ally go first. He'll set the tone for the rest of my attacks.
You guys are flanking now.
Yeah, of course we are. Set this up. It's genius stuff. All right, the first ball up is 30.
30 will miss.
Aha, that's not good because he gets progressively worse.
It's actually a 32 that makes any difference.
Oh, yeah, it is a 32. Does that change things? Good looking for bonuses.
32 will also miss.
Okay. Well, the next one's going to miss. Don't worry about what it was. Oh, natural 20. Let's go. 28.
Okay.
But it's a natural... No, it's 30, but it's a natural 20. And it'll be 27 to hit. How cool would it have been for two 20s and then a third, my spiritual ally kills him? Sweet.
That would have been something, all right. Does not confirm.
But it hits.
Yep. So let's get 1d10 plus 5.
All right. 12 damage. 12 free damage, I should say.
Well, he's not incorporeal anymore, right?
Right, but it's still force damage, so even if he were to gain some sort of DR from being ectoplasmic, and I ain't saying that he did, that would still all go through.
Sweet. All right, now let's get to the good stuff. The big Thalias damage roll. And can I shovel him now? Or do I need to use my champion Holy Spear that matches data to roll 20?
No, you don't even need to do that. Matt wasted his time doing that.
Perfect.
Well, I will say it's a move action to pull out the shovel so you wouldn't be able to full attack.
Oh, Matt. All right. All right. Got me there. We'll use the champion Holy Spear. Although, I can't
read. No, make him waste his time anyway, even though it's a detriment to you.
All right, here's the real rule. And all of these are going to be a plus 2. Sweet. 41 to hit.
41 will hit.
Yep. It'll be 30 damage and 3 acid.
Plus 2d6 holy.
Plus 2. Oh, dude, you know what I should have done? I should have smited this guy. Whoops. And 7 holy damage.
Okay.
Okay, and then 38 to hit.
38 will not hit.
Oh, no.
Oh.
That's bad. That's bad. That's real bad.
That's not good.
So my haste attack will miss. My second attack is 39.
39 will also miss.
Oh, no.
Oh, he turned into Nessie.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Things got bad, boys. They got real bad.
Where before you were contending with the high deflection bonus of an incorporeal creature, that persists, and in addition to that, this hard crystalline shell of ectoplasm seems to have significantly bolstered the worm wraith's AC.
Lousers. So I swing futilely with all my other attacks, and the guy's just standing there like, psst, I got crystalline armor, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Frustrating.
All right, up next is our genus.
Our genius is going to... You know, did I send out those three lightning balls?
You did, but...
I think so.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, earlier. I thought he did.
I totally forgot about them. You know what? Our genius isn't going to move from his spot, so he's just going to move action those to the dragon.
All right, then. All right. Here's some reflex saves. 32.
Makes it.
32.
Makes it.
24.
Makes it.
28.
Makes it.
Is that all of them?
I think that's all.
There better be some half damage going on here.
There is not.
There is not. That is okay, though. Our genius will cast Fireball. I think if I...
I don't think it matters, because I believe Thalias and Uhtred still have your brand on them.
He never cast that.
Yeah, I don't think I cast that.
He was going to, but everyone spread out too quickly.
I'm going to cast it right behind the dragon, keeping Thalias and Uhtred away from it.
29.
That passes, but still takes half.
Okay.
That is going to be 14 damage.
A little light on the D6s this time around.
It's 28, but yeah, 14, yeah.
Now remember, what did you roll last time? You missed the max by like 10 or something?
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to believe this, but with 14 points of damage, the Wormwraith falls.
No way.
No fucking way.
I didn't think we did that much damage to him.
Thalias fucked him up. Yeah. with that champion charge.
However, at the end of that round, anybody looking down would see Valbar's body give one big spasm. His back arcs up, and rising up from his corpse, you see a shadowy, cloaked figure. And I'd like another set of perception checks.
21.
20.
24.
Okay. You would all notice, with a jolt, looking to the east, just outside of the city's walls, you see two apparently living dragons.
What?
Currently flying towards you.
Fuck.
I'm more hopeful that with these being living dragons, that they might be goodies.
Can you imagine? How fun would that be?
I suspect Hammer Rock got Radiant fired because of the dragon that was there. And even if maybe they're not good dragons, they probably don't like seeing dragons get nuked.
These dragon scales are the color of weathered bone, and their hides stretch tautly and... almost painfully over their emaciated forms.
Well,
okay.
That solves
they sound
that.
Good. They're just hungry.
But it is the Dreadwraith's turn with their 60-foot fly speed.
I remember Dreadwraith being large-sized. Does it matter like what body it comes from?
It does, actually. The ones that you fought in Gallowspire were created from, I want to say, Storm Giants? And the Dreadwraith before you was created from a gnome and is appropriately small-sized, not large-sized.
Okay. This should be easier.
yeah, it's going to fly. It's going to make a fly check to fly upwards towards Thalias.
Okay,
the 32 is going to pass. And I don't think I can even charge. Actually, I think I've got just enough space to charge.
Oh, that's convenient.
Especially if I'm starting from...
I believe Thalias was flying, though, right?
He was.
Yeah,
he was 50 feet in the air. So actually, I don't think I can. Because he's got a fly speed of 60 feet. So with a double move, I could go straight up 60 feet. But then I've got 30 feet laterally to cover. So for simplicity's sake, I think it's going to just fly straight up 60 feet. And it will engage next round. And it looks out over all of you and it says, "Behold the monumental failure of the Pharasma IV.
As a free action, I look back at our genus.
Well, at the very least, they're using our names.
That's not even our names.
Yeah, we're one for all. So, yeah, Pharasma IV. You're Pharasma I. I'm Pharasma II.
I want to be Pharasma A.
And then the dragons are going to go. And they are still too far away to really do anything. So I think they're just going to double move. The red dragon is going to fly northwest. And it's going to end its movement a little bit to the north of our genus. And as it does so, it kind of squares off to the north. And that's when you all see something that your perception checks have been failing to spot. You see a second dread wraith that's been slowly making its way south towards our genus.
Ugh. Well, at least it's over there by our genus where it can't hurt us.
The second dragon is going to end its turn, kind of spaced in the middle. So to its northeast is the first crypt dragon and our genus, and to its southwest is Thalias, and then directly to its west is the Valbarge red wraith. And finally, you all hear something as the dragons are closing in. You hear this haunting, echoing cacophony of horses whinnying.
Is this another horse thing?
We're back! Hooray!
Our genus, you are closest and would be able to identify that this sound is coming from within the building directly to your northeast.
Okay.
Which, if you had to guess, you'd think might have used to have been a stable of some kind, just from the exterior of it. But, yeah, that's enough end of round developments. Let's kick it to the top with Uhtred.
The dragon, the one that you have marked with blue, now that it's closer, can I distinguish, like, what color dragon it is?
You can identify the dragon with a knowledge arcana check.
God damn it. I got a 28.
It really? Looks like you got a 15.
That's no, Thalias got a 15.
Oaks.
You got 28 with a natural one.
Yeah.
I was like, Nick can't get a 15. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was like, that seems like criminally low for Uhtred. I don't know how you did that.
Nah, my min roll is almost double his.
You identify these as crypt dragons. They are true dragons, just like a red dragon or a gold dragon. But the family of dragons that they are from is called a planar dragon. Different kinds of planar dragons come from different outer planes, but they all tend to journey to the material plane or some other inner plane at some point during their lives, and they kind of tend to enact their home plane's will upon whatever plane they decide to take up residence in. With a 28, you don't know a whole lot about crypt dragons. You know that they hail from the Boneyard.
Ugh.
The only thing that you really know about crypt dragons is you know that their natural attacks act as ghost touch against incorporeal creatures. But you have not rolled high enough to like ask any specific questions.
And you said they come from the Boneyard?
Yes. From looking at them, it appears that they are, like, prepared to fight the undead in the room. As you watch, the one that's closest to you, it turns to Thalias and Uhtred, who are closest to where the worm wraith was. And it says,
"You have our thanks for destroying that abomination."
Hey, nope, no problem. Right, Uhtred? It's nothing, a trifle.
You did all the heavy lifting, Thalias.
We will talk later. There is still work to be done.
Indeed.
All right, Uhtred, you got your whole turn ahead of you.
All right, I am going to charge the Dread Wraith that just came out of Valbar's body, and I will take a swing on him. We're hasted, right? Yeah. That kind of sucks. 25 to hit.
That'll hit.
Wow. This is going to take 14 slashing damage. I assume they're undead.
Yes, they are.
Okay, because I have Bane Undead, and I also have Chill Touch, which doesn't do damage, but makes it run from me, right, if it fails?
Yeah.
So it was 14 slashing damage, 10 Bane damage, and then I believe it's a will save.
And this is an undead that came from one of my characters, so it's definitely going to fail this and have to run away.
Yep.
Well, I got a 27.
Nah, that passes.
Okay. Thalias.
Yeah. Let's fly over and stomp on this thing. With a charge.
Okay.
Championly chargeling. And here it comes. 44.
That'll hit.
That'll do 29.
What are you attacking with?
My ghost spear.
Okay. So how much damage?
29 plus 5 acid.
Okay.
Champion attack I don't get, so let's move right to the natural one. Natural one.
All right, roll to confirm.
Do you have to roll holy damage?
Of course I do. I was just about to do that after you said it. 8 holy damage.
Okay.
And then the confirm on the natural one is not good. It's a 34.
34 will not confirm the fumble.
Perfect. All right, let's carry on then. 38.
That'll hit.
Nice. 32 damage and 5 acid.
Ooh.
Plus, not done yet, 5 holy damage.
Okay.
And then my last attack was a 22.
22 will hit.
Oh, shit. No way. 28 with 5 acid. Yes. And 9 holy damage.
All right.
Surely that kills this little pipsqueak.
It actually doesn't.
The Valbar difference.
All right. And then it was Arginus' turn.
Arginus will get the lightning balls from the dead dragon. And...
looks like Dreadwraith is 35 feet away.
Just out of reach.
Actually, probably a tiny bit more because it went 60 feet up, and the fight was 50 feet off the ground before that.
Got it.
But you can scoot him a little closer.
I'm going to scoot him a little closer. And then Arginus will... let's do another fireball, like, over here, just in the corner. Not get everybody. Yeah, a little bit northwest.
That'll be a 26 reflex.
26 passes. But you still get half damage. That's 33, so 16.
All right, he's still up. And it is now the Dreadwraith's turns. With Elias.
No! Pick somebody else.
Valbar Dreadwraith reaches out to touch you.
No, he doesn't. I put my eyes... I cover my eyes with my hands. He can't see me.
All right, he automatically hits. 32 versus touch.
Oh, versus touch? That's, yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Okay, you take 10 points of negative energy. Give me a fortitude save.
27.
All right. You avoid the con drain.
That's big.
The color that Valbar Dreadwraith red mystery Dreadwraith is blue. Blue's going to charge.
Oh, the map is so big, I totally forgot about that one up there. I was like, as soon as we deal with this guy, it seems like the dragons are friendly. No, okay, yeah. Still bad.
Blue's going to charge the dragon that planted itself between it and Arginus. And a 23 is going to beat its touch AC. Fortunately, crypt dragons are immune to negative energy. I don't think they're immune to ability drain, though.
What does this Dreadwraith look like?
I mean, as they are, they both just kind of look like shadowy cloaked figures.
Okay.
Can't really identify the individual based on the Dreadwraith.
Gotcha.
So would our guest NPC for the red dragon please give me a fortitude save?
All right. That is a 27.
All right, 27. You don't take any conjuring. And now it is the dragon's turns. Matt, why don't you just follow through there?
All right. Yeah, so this Dreadwraith just charges up to this dragon and creepily caresses it. The dragon just kind of like flinches back going, "Ew, not today." And just starts like flailing about with its natural attacks. starting with a bite. It's a 29.
29 hits.
Takes 19 damage.
Alrighty.
Now two claws. That is a 40 and a 40.
Both hits.
So that is 14 and 14 damage.
All right.
And now we got a tail slap for 33 to hit.
That'll hit.
For 17 damage.
All right.
And then two wing attacks, which is a 37 and a 26.
26 hits.
Oh, shit. So they take 8 and 9 damage from the wing attacks.
All right.
Well, Matt, your new character is great.
Surprise.
He's two dragons.
I'm playing the other dragon. Didn't give Matt that much power in my own campaign. It is the blue dragon's turn. And after seeing that Utrin and Thalias basically got this with the other one, it's going to actually fly northeast about 30, 35 feet. And then it's just going to engulf the red dragon and the Dreadwraith in its breath weapon.
Okay.
Okay, so gotta make a reflex save. That's an 18. 18 will fail. That Dreadwraith will take another 58 points of damage.
As the other dragon is completely unfazed by it.
Of course. And this entire time, that echoing, haunting whinnying has persisted. And just now, it finally reaches its climax. And you all see, almost like a blur, this thing emerge from the northern gates, sort of around the corner from where Arginus is. Arginus, you wouldn't be able to see the gates from your vantage point, but you would immediately see it as it like followed through with its movement about 180 feet away from Uhtred and Thalias. Two spectral horses pull this ornate, ghostly war chariot, the interior blocked by dark, heavy shadows.
What? That looks awesome.
Is this fucking Phirasma?
What makes you think it's Phirasma?
I don't know. It's bluish and it came storming in here with a bunch of dragons. I don't know.
Is Phirasma known for the color blue?
Her holy colors are, I think, red and gray. And it didn't arrive with the dragons. It was like inside this stable, but I mean, I guess their arrivals kind of intersected. But anybody who wants to give me a knowledge religion check to identify this newest addition to this clusterfuck of a combat.
28.
39.
26 for the red dragon.
Oh.
Nice roll. All
right.
I do got religion.
Oh my god.
You are convinced that it's Pharasma.
Oh my god, it's Pharasma.
It is Pharasma. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Not like a herald of Pharasma, not like some like effect conjured by her. Like that must be Pharasma driving that chariot. Thalias, Uhtred, and the with a natural one, the crypt dragon identify this as a death chariot, basically a death coach with the advanced creature template. Joe and Matt can each ask me one question. Nick can ask me four questions.
I'll start with give me the DR.
It is an incorporeal creature, so it does not have DR, but non-magical attacks will not affect it. Magical attacks and spells only deal half damage, and ghost touch weapons deal full damage.
I'd like to know its movement speed.
Oh, good one.
I'm guessing it's something ridiculous.
You know that it has a landbound speed of 40 feet, and it can fly the speed of 30 feet.
That was not ridiculous at all. I would like one cool offensive ability.
You know about its Collect Soul attack. When a death coach deals damage to a creature with its touch attack, in addition to the damage dealt, it can immediately attempt to collect the creature's soul, forcing the creature to make a fortitude save. Creatures suffering from a fear effect take a -4 penalty on the save. A creature that succeeds takes an additional 3d6 plus 16 points of damage. On a failed save, it takes an extra 160 points of damage as if hit by a finger of death spell.
How much? Whoa, sorry. How much damage?
In addition to the damage dealt by its touch attack, a failed save will net you an additional 160 points of damage.
Okay, yes. Big number, okay.
The soul of a creature slain by this attack becomes trapped in the death coach's interior. A trapped soul can be restored to life only by a miracle or wish. This is a death effect. And a creature that succeeds at its save is immune to that death coach's collect soul ability for 24 hours. So, good news, as long as you succeed at the initial fortitude save, additional touch attacks will not subject you to this effect again.
Okay, I got my question.
All right.
Can it see or sense invisible creatures?
You want to know about its senses. It has dark vision, 60 feet. It has death watch, which is the same sense that Uhtred gets from those goggles of bullshit that he's had since book 2. And it also has life sense, which is blind sight for living creatures. So it can indeed see invisible creatures.
Life sense up to 60 feet?
Yes.
So this isn't really a question so much as I don't know how this works. Is that mirror image also?
Yes, mirror image, displacement. It bypasses all those. Treat it like it has true seeing.
I believe the Dreadway Wraiths also have life sense.
Yes. It's a pretty common sense for incorporeal undead to have.
I see. Okay, yep.
All right. Nick, how many questions you got left?
2. How about a cool defensive ability?
Sure. It doesn't have any defensive abilities per se, but you know about I'll give you its soulbound gallop ability. When a death coach traps a creature's soul, all of its movements are doubled.
I knew it had to have some kind of cool movement. And let's go with an energy defense.
You know that it does not have any special energy defenses. But yeah, it spends its turn doing a double move and it kind of charges straight out into the courtyard. It's still a fair distance north of the rest of this fight, but you would identify this as a potentially very dangerous enemy to suddenly burst into the battlefield. But let's bring us back to Uhtred.
I'm going to sacrifice the charges of Chill Touch to cast Undead Anatomy and take the form of a tiny pickled punk. Now, I'm going to cast this regardless, but I'm not sure how these mechanics interact. Life Sense senses something that's living. Undead Anatomy says that when you take the form of the undead, you detect as undead.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean Life Sense wouldn't be able to... I mean, they can still see Uhtred currently, but would that effectively...
Their Life Sense would not notice you.
Okay, so if I then were to cast an invisibility in the next round, then they actually couldn't see me and I would gain concealment bonuses.
Unless they had some other sense that they were to use after that.
Okay.
No. Based on all the senses that I just gave you, and with that combination, you know that you would become invisible to them, even with Life Sense.
I cast this defensively. I roll a concentration check. I pass. And then I'm going to take a single swing at the Dreadwraith in front of me.
Left 5 foot step into the Dreadwraith space.
Oh, you're right.
And that'll provoke.
Yes. And then I'll use a Arcana point to boost. Did you say they do touch attacks?
Yes, I did.
Then I'm not going to waste the Arcana point.
All right. So that's a 30 to hit your touch AC.
That actually misses.
Damn. Well, then proceed.
I am rolling really bad at my attacks. It's a 29 to hit.
29 hits.
Good thing these guys have, like, no armor to them. Okay, it's 15 slashing. Bane, the +2 from Bane gets added into damage, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 17 slashing, and then the 2d6s. 7 more Bane damage.
Okay. Do you not get a full attack?
I don't think so, right?
I mean, you cast a spell in 5 foot step. Spell combat, I think, still gives you a full attack.
Well, in that case, the hasted attack is a 29 to hit.
That'll hit.
It's going to be 15 slashing damage plus 10 Bane. The next attack is a 31 to hit on a crit threat.
Yep, that'll crit. That'll threaten.
That's a 41 to confirm.
That'll confirm.
Need a crit card.
So this is just slashing, right?
You're just slashing.
So this is called a missing ear. Normal damage and 1 charisma drain. And it takes a -4 penalty on perception checks to listen until healed.
I'll never hear itself coming.
So 14 slashing damage. And another 5 Bane damage.
And that will drop that Dreadwraith. And Valbar is officially an eligible PC for a revival.
All right. Get to him tomorrow, but I'm sure the body will be good by then.
All right. Up next is going to be Thalias.
All right. Time for pain. I'm kind of far away, though. Oh, but I have a fly speed.
Your fly speed should be, I think, 40 feet? Well, base 40, with haste, it's 70. So you could charge it, but not champion charge it.
Yeah, chariot's looking kind of dangerous. Maybe we just let the dragons take care of this one. I think I have an even better idea. Maybe. Well, let me just check my spellbook. Okay, I've got an idea.
Okay.
I want to channel my Hierophant using my energy font. And I want to cast Righteous Might on myself.
What spell level is Righteous Might?
5th level.
You don't have the spell slot.
I don't have the spell slot. I thought I didn't have the 6th level spell slot.
You only get up to 4th level spells as a standard medium.
Ah, man, that thing's so tasty. What level do I have to be to get this 5th level spell slot?
You can't. Medium never gets above 4th level spells unless they're channeling the Archmage or the Hierophant.
Why did I write all these down? Oh, because if I do channel the higher one. Damn it.
Not that you ever will.
Not that I ever will. Except for tomorrow when we need to revive someone.
Yeah, except not even worth it then.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. Okay. I'm going to do, instead, I'm going to do the same thing. But instead of a fifth level spell, a fourth level spell, Divine Power.
Okay. Tell me about Divine Power.
So plus 5 luck bonus to attack and damage rolls. And with all of my attacks, I think that'll be super useful for fighting a truck or a bus or whatever it is.
Yep, that'll definitely give you a pretty sweet offensive boost.
Yeah. And then I can move action?
Yes, you can.
And I'll move action sideways behind the dragons.
Okay.
Right behind the dragons. Perfect. Unless, I mean, I'm kind of in between them, so hopefully it doesn't have like a beam attack that it can shoot that 10-foot gap, but I should be okay.
If it did, you just made its job pretty easy.
Yes. But wait, there's more potentially. Can I lay on hands with my Swifty?
I believe Trance of 3 is a swift action.
Okay. I thought that as well, but then I forgot that I needed to cast that to do the thing. Perfect. And unfortunately, my spiritual ally just kind of has to hang out over there because I don't have the action economy to move him, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Darn.
All right. Arginus.
All right. So, all right. Let's go with, Disintegrate.
Are you targeting the Dreadwraith or the Death Carriage?
Death Carriage.
All right. Go ahead and give me a ranged touch attack.
22.
22 will not beat the Death Coach's touch AC.
Oh, damn it.
I'm honestly a little disappointed too, because the Death Carriage has Lightning Stance and Wind Stance, and I've never been able to use those feats. Basically, if it double moves, it gets 50% concealment for one round. But it is the Dreadwraith's turn, and it's going to see further attacking the Crypt Dragon as a fool's errand. It's going to go after our genus.
Good choice.
First, it's going to provoke an attack of opportunity for movement as it attempts to just float directly through the red Crypt Dragon space.
All right, bitey bite. That is a 29 to hit.
29 hits.
So that is 20 damage as it chompy chomps on its way by.
Nice round damage. Unfortunately, is not enough to take it down. That's a natural 20.
You'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
That's another natural 20.
No, Shut the fuck up. You're not rolling to kill right now.
Roll to kill. Do it. You'll actually deserve this one.
Do it. I can't be the only one to die.
Didn't deserve it.
I can't even be upset at Kutcher because, like, right, yeah, I get it.
All right, this one's going to be rolled on roll 20.
Oh!
18.
Oh.
That is a confirmed critical.
Roll concealment.
It's got life sense.
Oh.
Even when you remember it, it doesn't apply.
Fuck.
So what kind of damage would this be? Options are bludgeoning, piercing, slashing, and magic. Would it be a magic crit?
No. Honestly, for an incorporeal touch attack, I think I'm just going to roll one of the auxiliary crits.
That's fair.
Roll a d10. I got a 3, so that's going to count as a 2. Normal damage, and you gain a number of temporary hit points equal to your level. These temporary hit points last for 1 minute. So, in lieu of level, that'll be hit dice. Tom, you fucking lucked out. Because that would have been 2d8 con drain on a failed fortitude save.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
But give me a fortitude save.
Could be max roll.
I'm going to use, was it my horseshoes the highest?
Yeah, it's the +4.
Okay. I use that. I think that's my second one today. Fortitude save. All right, here we go. 24?
24 will pass.
Oh, nice.
I feel like that was pretty close to failing.
Yeah, I would think so.
I was heavily debating the
reroll.
Yeah, but
all right. You will take 12 points of negative energy damage, and now it is the Death Coach's turn. The map is so big. It's fatiguing how big this map is. You know what? I think it's just gonna... It's got that lightning stance, baby. And it's gonna move 80 feet southeast.
Southwest.
That's what I said. Okay, and that will put the blue crypt dragon within a certain aura. Don't look into it. And I've gotta make a will save. 34 will pass. And now it is the Crypt Dragon's turns.
Red Dragon will start with a breath attack of its own on the chariot. So that's a reflex save.
It's going to be a 27.
27 looks like a pass. Takes half of 43, so 21 damage. And then he's going to fly. He's going to fly up and back towards the south, like just down this way, up in the air more.
All right,
just to keep his distance.
All right, avoid making that fly check.
Not that I'm worried about it, but sure.
Yeah. All right. I think Death Coach is such a bigger threat, but our genus is in trouble. But Death Coach is a way bigger threat. Blue Crypt Dragon is also going to use its breath weapon. Actually, it already used its breath weapon. I need to roll to see if I can do it again.
Yeah, that's why I just rolled the D4.
Oh, okay. Oh, that sucks.
Yep.
Every 1D4 rounds, looks like Matt rolled a 4. I just rolled a 3, so I cannot use my breath weapon yet. So actually, yeah, while it's recharging, Dragon's going to charge up on the Dreadwraith. Getting real cozy with our genus.
Oh, who's my big boys?
You'll refrain from talking like that to me.
that's totally fair.
It wasn't a request or a question. It was a state of fact.
Yeah.
That's a natural 19 for a critical threat against the Dreadwraith, and a 36 is going to confirm.
All right, bite attack is piercing.
Yeah. Well, it was brought to my attention that natural attacks technically are all three types, but I think that's a bit much. We can probably narrow it down to like two. Like a bite would be like piercing and slashing probably. But I think for now, like I'll hammer it out later. But let it be known, I am aware that we have technically been doing that wrong.
Okay, so the piercing crit is called Left Reeling, takes double damage, and the target takes a -2 penalty to AC for 1d4 rounds.
All right, see if that even matters. And, takes a chomp out of the Dreadwraith for 43 points of damage, and the Dreadwraith just gets crushed in the Crypt Dragon's jaws, and like it just kind of splashes apart into nothing.
Nice.
Oh, nicely done, sister. Thank you. I'm glad you saw that. Now let's take care of that whinnying menace.
Oh, indeed.
And I'm here to, great job, guys. Go.
I'm aware that you're there.
No, okay.
You're welcome.
I'm not gonna lie, like, this is terrifying, even for our genus.
Yeah, he is just kitty-cornered between those two dragons right now. All right, that brings us back to Uhtred.
I guess I should test this theory. I'm going to cast Greater Invisibility on myself, and...
You would hear off to the side.
Oh, he actually turned into that disgusting creature.
And then I'm going to move up and occupy the bottom left corner of the chariot.
Okay. I don't know if you still provoke from literally entering a creature's space, even if they can't, like, directly target you.
I feel like that's like moving past something while you're invisible, if it doesn't know you're there.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if there was, like, an exception to actually entering their space, because I know that does come with, like, an extra layer of difficulty and consequence if you fail to do it. But I wouldn't even get to know how to, like, look that up, so for now we'll just go with it. All right, that's your full turn, Uhtred?
Yeah, that's the full turn.
All right, then Thalias.
Okay. Things are interesting now.
Time to be a hero.
Not yet, it's not. I know you think that it's time.
You're to be bursting at the seams with divine power.
Yes. There's one more thing I need to do. I'm going to cast False Life on myself, and I have to roll a d10 plus 10 for temporary hit points.
All right.
Okay, not a complete failure. 17, actually pretty good. And I'm going to lay on hands, heal myself. So I am now at full HP plus 17.
Very nice.
And I think I still have a move action. Swift, standard, yes. So I will move up. Not that far. I'll move up. How far do I want to move? I want to be able to charge him next turn. So I can technically do that from where I am. And I assume he's only going to move forward. So this is a thinker. Let's go... let's just stay where I am. Oh! With my move action, I'll move my spiritual ally. Fucking real men of genius over here.
All right.
And I can move that 30 feet.
Yes.
I move that 30 feet northeast towards the action.
On this map, moving at 30 feet is like not moving in at all.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He might get there in a couple turns if I move actions.
All right, Arginus.
Let's do ball lightning.
You're casting the spell again?
Yeah.
Real quick, hold on. Sorry, Tom. Smite Evil is some sort of action economy?
I want to say swift action, but it might be a free action.
Okay, hold on. I have it here. Yeah, hold on. It says swift action.
Okay.
So instead of moving, can I swift action again?
Hold on. You used Lay on Hands on yourself, right?
Oh, yeah, because I used my swift action. I can't trade up.
So you actually couldn't have moved your
ally. Oh, no. All right. Good call. Okay. So, yeah, put him back. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
That's what you get for interrupting.
You think I could get my... Yeah, you think I could get my turn in my own turn, but...
Yeah, let's go with ball lightning.
All right. Here we go. 27.
Makes it.
32.
Makes it.
32.
Makes it.
23.
Makes it.
Wow. All right, and now it is Death Coach's turn. I guess it would go after the blue dragon that is next to Arginus. It is tied as the closest enemy, and it's also the closest. It's tied as the largest enemy, and it's also the closest enemy.
Well, wait, isn't Uhtred right there?
Yeah, but it can't see Uhtred.
Uh-oh. It would provoke, though.
Yep. Let's go ahead and roll attack of opportunity.
It's a 31 to hit? Actually, no, it's a 33, because I never toggled on that bane.
33 will not hit.
It's flat-footed AC minus 2.
Fair. That will hit.
Okay, so 14 slashing damage, and then another 3 bane damage.
Okay, so it's going to move southeast and be 10 feet removed from the dragon, and almost like a ghostly whip, it fires its touch attack at the dragon.
Question, because it had to get to within 10 feet, would that provoke an attack from the dragon as well with the bite?
Yeah. Good call. That'll be a 37 to hit, and that will hit for 23 points of damage. And that's going to be a 37 against the dragon's touch AC, which most certainly hits. So now I've got to make a fortitude save against its collect soul ability. Okay, I got a 32 on my fortitude save, so I pass. Here is the touch attack damage plus the reduced damage from the collect soul ability.
What?
And the dragon takes 90 points of damage.
That's the reduced damage?
Yeah.
You rolled 3 ones in there. And a 2. 2 twos.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Most of that is nullified because the Crypt Dragon is immune to negative energy damage. So just, I'll just take the last 3d6.
So that was just there to frighten the PCs.
a happy turn of events, I guess. But yeah, my bad. So that's going to be 29 damage with ignoring the negative energy. Yeah, its touch attack is a lot of damage. And then it's going to cast a spell as a swift action. And a cone of frightful energy emits out in front of it. And the dragon and our genus will both need to give me will saves.
Is this a mental?
This is a mind-affecting effect.
Ace. That's 40.
For as crazy as our genus is, you cannot come for his mind.
So that's a pass from our genus and a pass from the dragon. And then I'm going to need, finally, a will save from our genus and a will save from Thalias.
No!
Did you just not hear me?
Is this a mind-affecting effect?
Yes, it is.
All right. That's a 36.
Feeble-brained Thalias. Jeez. 19?
Well, plus.
Plus?
5.
4?
No, I think he gets 5 because his cloak's only a plus 3.
What's your cloak of resistance?
It's a plus 3, plus 3. So yeah, add 5 to that, Joe.
Okay, 24. Check me out.
Got 24. A hero point?
No.
24 will fail against its aura of doom, and you are shaken.
Oh, that's nothing.
And that'll bring us back to the dragons.
Okay. Red Dragon's going to fly up to get on the opposite side of the chariot from his sister. And he is going to attack with the bite with a vital strike.
Okay.
Go right for that axle.
What?
Other kind of axle, like a wheel axle.
Okay. That's a 42 to hit.
42 will hit, but I need to roll for concealment.
So that is wind stance. Was that 25%?
Wind stance gives it 20% chance versus ranged attacks if it moves, I think, more than 20 feet in one round. Lightning stance gives it 50% concealment against all attacks if it does a double move and it charged. So,
okay, but that's not two actions to move. It's a charge. That's a different action.
Come on, Matt. He just really wanted to use one of these feats.
I know he does, and I don't want him to.
It does specifically say two actions or withdraw action. Not a charge. All right. Fuck you, Matt.
I really wanted to use this vital strike. And it's improved vital strike, so this is what? Triple dice?
Yeah, it's going to be 9d6, I think.
Okay. Oh,
wow. Save some d6 for the rest of us.
That's 53 damage.
Oh my God.
As the dragons just chomps down on the back axle of this chariot.
What?
Dude, legendary. It's a joke 20 years ago.
Put him in the trunk.
Put him in the trunk.
All right, pretty good. Not good enough, though. That brings us back to Uhtred.
Well, the blue dragon still gets to attack.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess his best move is to full attack with the flank. So here we go. That'll be a 34 bite. That'll hit. And then a 36 claw, 37 claw, 37 tail, 42 wing, and a 36 wing. So all of its attacks hit. All right. So that's 63 with everything but its wings, because its wings are different damage dice. Wow. Another 22 from its wings.
Ooh.
So it's a cool 85 damage from its full attack. Now it's Uhtred's turn.
Uhtred's just gonna charge up, take a swing on the chariot. Oh, I gotta go into.
No, I forgot to have you do this when you approached it initially, but give me a will save, please.
We got 28.
28 will pass.
I'm sorry, but I gotta pat myself on the back. That fucking spell has been paying dividends.
Like, oh, immediately. Day one, it started paying out. Okay. And then this is going to be a 36 against its flat-footed AC minus 2.
That'll hit.
Okay. It's going to be 14 slashing damage plus 7 bane.
Okay.
Also, this is some of the oddest positioning I've ever seen on a map. There's 15 feet on this side, 10 on this side, and 2 on top of each other.
Yep.
Oh, there's just so much map. I mean, anything is possible.
I guess.
Speaking of, Thalias.
All right. Let's come to this. I really want to smite this guy, but I also want to charge him. So I'm in a real pickle here with how I'm going to execute this. I think smite is stronger than an additional attack, because I would have to full attack charge, and I wouldn't be able to smite. Am I correct in that? Is there a way I can smite and charge?
Yes, but you would only get one attack at the end of your charge. So it's either a champion charge, which is a full attack minus your champion attack, or regular charge and smite, which is one attack plus smite.
Smite lasts just the one turn, or it lasts multiple? Can I use it again?
It lasts until that creature is dead.
Yeah, so I want to get it up ASAP is my thought here.
Right, but this thing's already taken like 150-ish damage.
Okay, alright. Let's just charge, be a hero, and maybe some bigger baddie will come that I can smite.
I can do this all day.
Yeah.
Remember, the big undead dragon was just the freaking bouncer. There's something worse in here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alright, okay. So as you close that distance, your movement will provoke an attack of opportunity.
Oh, but I charge. I'm so quick. You think there's time for to
I
provoke?
Think there is, but not today. We're going to do that next week.
Oh.
On the Inspired Incompetence podcast.
E.T.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya. See ya.